We're beginning in the book of Acts to trace the spread of the gospel. So we have this text today about Philip and the representative or the chancellor of the Queen of Ethiopia. The text that's picked to illustrate evangelization is this text from Isaiah 53, the sufferings of Jesus. And from there he preached the whole gospel to him, and he believed and was baptized. In our gospel, in this discourse on the Eucharist, we have two important points. One has been made before, the other is brand new. In fact, it's a turning point in the discourse. Once again, we have this idea that this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. And it's said it this way, this is the work that God does, that you believe. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. If we come to Jesus, it's by a pure mercy of the Father. It's the work of God in us. And our role there is to yield to that work. The obstacles in us, oh, pride, sensuality, you know, all sorts of things, you know, block that effort of a total yielding to this action of the Father through the Holy Spirit that brings us to Jesus. You think when, you know, when you use the word yield, you think, oh, well, just yield. There's such obstacles in us to yielding to the truth. And yet, as he tells us now, you believe you're going to live forever. Body and soul, you will live forever. See, believing is already taking in the Christ, taking in Jesus. And the Eucharist is the full sacramental expression of taking him in, even physically, into our bodies. Because our bodies have an eternal destiny. And so, he's teaching us. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. How many times when you were young did your mother say, are you listening to me? That's different than hearing me. To listen means to yield, to pay attention, to take in. Not just let the words ring in your ear. Spiritually then, to listen is to yield. See, everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. That Ethiopian there, he listened to the Father. He yielded to him. And he was baptized. He was joined physically to Jesus Christ. To the risen, glorious body of Christ. He was joined physically. And because he's joined physically, even death will not stop that union. And he will be raised again one day. Yeah, his body will decompose and so forth, but he will raise one day because he is joined to Christ and to the glorious, physical, divinized body of Jesus Christ. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God himself, Jesus. He has seen the Father from all eternity. And now, the same reality, but with different words. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Now, suppose somebody has hurt you very badly. Well, you know what you're supposed to do. You've heard it. Now, to believe in it means to yield to it and forgive them. In the depth of your heart, over and over again until you don't have any more resentment. That's faith. Is it easy? No. See, yielding to a concert as you're sitting in the concert hall, that's not much work. But yielding to the truth, given the way our poor frame is made and the sins we've committed, is hard. But this is faith. Stand by the truth. You see? Whoever believes has eternal, that is, divine life. Divine life. Try to remember that all day. The deepest movement in us is divine life. The Lord once told Catherine of Siena, if you saw one person in the state of grace, you'd worship them. You'd think it was me. That's why the devils hate us, because we go around shining with divine life. And we're so dumb, we don't see it either. I am the bread of life. This is the last time he says those words. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. To be with my Father forever. Because this Eucharistic gesture, I take it in, that's yielding to faith. And therefore, opening ourselves up to that work of the Holy Spirit, which is to give us understanding, life, and a power to overcome our sins. And now, the whole discourse changes. No longer does Jesus say, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the living bread. I'm alive right here among you. I am alive. This bread and this wine, they are me, alive. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. There's only one thing that could kill us, mortal sin. It's the only way we could lose it. We have divine life. And it comes to us, it's strengthened in us, it even fills our bodies through this precious gift of the Eucharist. I am the living bread. Living bread. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And now, for the first time in this whole discourse, the Lord opens up the very heart of what he's talking about. And he says, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. First, I will give it on the cross. I will give my flesh. Let it be crucified, mocked, beaten. I give my flesh for the life of the world. And now, transformed by that act of love in which I died, transformed by the power of the Father who raised me from the dead, it's your food. You will live by this. In heaven, we won't take him in physically because we'll take him in totally. And we will live by the bread of God forever. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And now, for the first time, moving from all the wisdom overtones, and he is the wisdom of God, he tells us outright, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. His flesh given on the cross for the life of the world. That's what we receive. It's divinized. But it's a gift. We'll have one more perhaps to finish off the discourse. But this is that I am the living bread. I am alive. This bread is alive. I am this living bread. And this bread that you receive is my flesh for the life of the world. It's that flesh that was crucified. It's that flesh that was mine in that act of love in which I died and gave my whole being to the Father for the sake of the world. That's what we get every day.